This is Naked by the Future Farm, where entrepreneurship is stripped to its vulnerable core. Brought to you by Vlady Meškobrestinska and Nektarios Lolios. And remember to subscribe, follow, and rate Naked to help us share it with the world.
Hi, Vlady.
Hi, Nektarios. Okay, good. Good, it works. It's good to be back. I was looking forward to this one.
It's also new because we finished last year with an extra episode and we're starting this year with an extra episode.
Yeah, yeah. We missed you guys. And we, at least, or I know that we, but okay, speaking for myself, you see, I can't do this. I go from I to we. I, Vlady, really enjoy this. All in all, it just gives me a space to reflect and connect with you and also be more chilled, to be honest. We were reflecting yesterday with Nektarios that, you know, we really enjoy our like core Naked when we have a guest and founders. And it's also very important for us still to create a safe space for the entrepreneurs to really share what usually we don't talk about and be naked. And I think at the same time, however, it's just a different dynamic, you know, when you can't really come in and you are like, hey, I want to say something, but you hold on, or I hold back just because you want to create the space for a person to share. And here we are. This is really, it's just us, you know, it's just ours and all of you out there. So
I'm it's glad kind of funny back. Though, when you said we missed you, I was going to straight in. Kind of contradict you because I was going to say I didn't miss you, not you, Vlady, but the audience. And I wanted to make a point of that because it's not about being mean or not caring, but I really needed that break. I really needed for it's been a long time since I was counting the days towards going away and being determined to switch off. And I really enjoyed switching off. So for me, saying I didn't miss you, it's actually a good thing because I managed to get through 2 weeks pretty much without thinking about the Future Farm or any of the other stuff that I'm involved in because I really needed a distance because the last 2 months of last year were really intense with all the work that we're doing on the Future Farm beyond the content, but also because I was preparing the fundraise for my fintech business and all that. And it's got to that point again where I just don't want to be.
And you manage it? Did you manage to fully switch off?
Okay. Yeah. It was nice to be in Sicily and have a completely different environment and getting annoyed by landlords in an Airbnb rather than by a client conversation or investor conversation or all that. Yeah. So from that perspective,
I hear you.
As I was doing my research for Sicily, I found out that the traditional breakfast in Sicily is granita, which is ice cream. So having ice cream for breakfast was just a dream. So yeah, I'm in a good place.
That's the thing why it works to do it. Yeah, I hear you. I totally hear you. I did miss it in a sense that, so my experience, and you know this because we already talked a little, but I really wanted to bring it up because I did think of you guys, or I mean, folks out there, our family, because when I was coming home for Christmas, basically to my parents and who I love and I don't see much when I'm in Pakistan. And this time I was arriving and the situation basically sort of bubbled up. My grandparents were not in the best place and everybody was sort of emotionally exhausted. And there is this branding for the 24th of December. That you just need to be merry, cherry, happy, whatever that is, be whatever. And it didn't work. I mean, it didn't work for us. We were not in a good place and we were all sort of able to reflect on it on the 25th and 22nd, 26th, and it got better over time. But I, on the night of the 24th, I did miss you because I was like, I want to talk about this, you know, that it's not okay. All that pressure that we get, you turn on the radio, you turn on your phone and TV, or just, you know, you just get all those messages, you know, on your phone. And I know they come from a good place, but it also, honestly, how I felt at that moment is that there was a lot for us to deal with already emotionally with the situation that we got in our hands. And at the same time, I felt that maybe it was me that I was also dealing with on with another layer, which was the pressure of being happy here and now, because that's what's expected of you. And I felt that that's not fair. And obviously, over time, you understand that nobody's putting on you and it is about your work on yourself. But I just wanted to say that, you know, if you're 21st, 25th, or whenever you have, you know, big celebrations or big events. I also experienced this, by the way, on a birthday, my birthdays, and you will remember, like, this year's birthday. I was like, what is about this milestone? Was tough because it didn't work out. And I was like, it's okay. It's just okay to let go. And we gave the presents on the day after, and it was really lovely. We didn't do it on the specific hour that people think we should do it. And I just want to share this with you. So if you felt similar or had an experience, it's just, we're all okay. It's good. It's that materialistic world out there. So that's how I missed you. Yeah.
It's interesting. You're talking about something that I think in other parts of your life, you're actually pretty good at managing. You don't let other pressures get to you. But for some reason, this is a different context, right? It's family and it comes with other baggage. So I hear you. I hear you. I like a bit of a fuss. I like a bit of a, oh, you lay the table nicely and all that. But at some point, I came to that recognition that I really don't like it when it feels expected. So we stopped, I stopped quite early on making a big thing out of Christmas, New Year's. New Year's for me is much more of a, oh, you're supposed to be out and have fun. And the last few New Year's Eves.
Okay, what time did you go to bed this year?
This year, I went to bed about 1 a.m.
Oh, but, wow. But we were like 10 p.m. under the duvet. You're good, man.
But literally just kind of watching rubbish television and having a really enjoying it. And where I was next door playing computer games, and we got together for 15 minutes around midnight to say Happy New Year. And then we went both back. So that there is something about if you need it and you can find it and it gives you what you want, fine. But not everybody has the same needs. And there is something about this presumed communal experience. It doesn't work for everybody.
Yeah. I think, like, look, I really like traditions. And I also like rituals. So I hear you on that, you know, laid out nicely and stuff. I actually really do like it. I think it was that conflict of, like, when it doesn't work out because you can't control everything, that's the moment when it's okay to let go. And I think that's where we were sort of like, oh my God, we want to make it perfect, but it's not possible at this moment. So just let go and say, like, let's go to bed. Tomorrow is going to be a better day.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about this. Mm-hmm. And I'll start by oversharing. In Sicily, we arrived.
I've been doing that already since whatever time since the beginning. This show.
In Sicily, we arrived at this B&B, and I was really looking forward. This was the last one, so we had three stops, and this was the one we were going to be for a week. And we picked it because it was beautiful. It was like old architecture, but modern fittings and all that. And we walk in, and it was freezing. And I communicated with the landlord, and the landlord was not really hearing me when I was saying, it's really cold. It's really difficult to even take your jacket off. And it was like, oh, it's going to get warm soon. And 2 hours later, it was still cold. And I'm the sort of the switching into solution mode, the pragmatic one, the fixer. And the fact that he was just dismissing my concerns, my complaints, and he was not hearing me. Mm-hmm. Right? He was literally not hearing me. I was saying, this isn't working. And he was saying, I can't do anything right now. And I was like, but that's not good enough. And instead of getting angry or in getting frustrated or whatever it would have done if I'd been in a good place, I literally started feeling the tears come up. So I was sitting in this living room, this 54-year-old man who's like, whoa, a lot of the time going, I'm about to start crying because I'm cold and I don't have the perspective that it's going to get warmer. And this is supposed to be the week that we're here. But it's going, talking about mental health.
There it is. Right? There it is. Because this is supposed to be the week when we are .. At least I think so. Don't you think
so? It was supposed to be the week for me to switch off and relax.
Exactly. Right?
Yeah.
So I had that expectation.
Yeah. But yeah. It wasn't just that. It was just the fact that I felt that I've learned to talk about my needs without feeling apologetic and to be specific so people can respond to that and do all the things that I felt would be necessary. And there was literally no response on the other side. And my only way of dealing with that at the moment, because I was tired from the 3 months before, because I was exhausted from the day and all this stuff, I literally just said, and Wei was looking at me going, I've never seen you like this. Mm. And I was thinking, wow, what do I do? Normally I'm the one who knows what to do. And I literally didn't know what to do.
What did you do?
We went for a walk.
You see,
because, good. Because it wasn't colder outside than it was inside. and had a bite, came back, still not better. And then I went to bed with my clothes on and the duvet and thought, I'll just wake up tomorrow morning and we'll deal with it in the morning. And it kind of worked.
Mm.
It wasn't an ideal resolution. Luckily, the next day, they kind of helped us and fixed it. But I just wanted to put it on the table that even when you think you've got some things figured out, there's just little triggers that kind of completely throw you off.
Yeah.
We're
still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
I totally hear you. I totally hear you. As I was thinking about today, there was also this one other thing that I wanted to talk to you about, which is a little bit more related to sort of the work that we do at Future Farm, but basically about the world of entrepreneurs and more specifically the last 2 months, I think, has been quite challenging or intense on the side of the co-founder dynamics in my other business in Pakistan. And I'm speaking about it openly because that's also the nature of how we sort of treat each other. We're very honest and open, so my co-founders wouldn't mind. But it's something interesting because it made me think. So, you know, that moment where, so you have co-founders, which has a lot of pluses, and I'm aware of the sort of the pros of having partners with you at the top, which can be very lonely if you're a solo founder. At the same time, we are now going through a fundraise, which is a turbulent period, let's put it that way. And it requires a certain bigger amount of energy and effort to sort of emotionally regulate myself. In terms of, you know, just managing the ambiguity, and one day you get really big highs, like you're really, literally like, just, yes, I have to say this, just, and maybe this is just for the folks who will know, but I got an email on LinkedIn from Sequoia, the major investor, just like sending you a LinkedIn message, like, hey, we would like to connect with you guys. We would like what you do. And I was like, Sequoia sends LinkedIn messages. But anyhow, this is not a show. This just say it's a big high for me. And the next day you get like 5 no's, like, thank you, we love what you do, but we are going to skip this stage. And you are like, oh my God, this whole sort of castle is now, you know, all it has fell down. So you invest a lot into sort of how do you show up, you know, that whole regulation. And then what I've been experiencing is that at the same time, while you are taking care of yourself, there is somebody with whom you committed to each other as partners, and that somebody, you see him or her sort of suffering in a bigger way, let's say, through this process. And whether it's a fear of missing out, anxiety, or what I'm also seeing is sort of like this losing a relevancy in terms of what's my role, what's my purpose in here. And I think my question was around how much of my personal effort needs to go in creating that space for the other person, for my co-founder, to help them figure it out. And that my natural self goes into, we committed to each other, we have each other's back, we're creating a lot of safe space for those conversations to happen. But I also am feeling that there is a boundary that there is a moment where I have an expectation for the others to also take care of their own self-awareness and, you know, their own emotional regulation and start being sensitive around sort of where it's harming the others or where it might be harming the business and where it's my thing to deal with and not to bring it up sort of, let's say, often to the table. So that's something I think we're sort of figuring it out. We also put together this co-founder relationship agreement, which has like key principles. And I really love it. It took us a long time to put it together. Happy to share it if anybody is interested. So one of the things that we did in this situation is that we refer to the principles because some of the things that I even wrote it down just to sort of share. But one of the principles that helped me was like we say we offer support to each other during the tough times, personally and professionally. At the same time, the other point says we ruthlessly pursue self-knowledge in order to show up more balanced and self-aware in the co-founder relationship. And I think that's something that I've been sort of struggling. It's not always easy to put it to the other person. I also sort of want to, you know, be sort of respectful to the principle of honesty to each other, but it's just not easy. Let's put it that way, because it's emotional, it's ego and all of it. So just put it out there. It's not a drama, but it's something that, you know, I've been going through and trying to sort of feel it, navigate it. What are your thoughts? I mean, you have experienced relationships. Yeah. experienced relationships? What did I just say? Oh my God. Co-founder relationships experiences.
My first question to you would have been, so where are you right now emotionally with this? You described the setup. You didn't describe how you feel about it.
I feel like I'm at the edges of it. So, for instance, today we had a conversation that was of a similar nature, and I could see myself having a very short tolerance span, and very quickly become sort of, I think, annoyed and frustrated I was starting to lack empathy. It was the empathy fatigue because I was like, we talked about this. We clarified this. I love you. I really do. I respect you, but you need to deal with this. And then the conversation actually navigated into a good place. So as of now, I feel like I'm seeing this like white color. So I'm like in an okay space. But yeah, it's not like, you know, it went off and it's like, I think it's still something that I'm processing and hence why I wanted to also bring it up and sort of share.
It's great that you've done two things. So in that one sense statement that you just kind of shared, which is you showed that radical self-awareness, that recognition, that you started lacking empathy, right? Mm. But also articulating it in a way that it's very clear that you need some met as well, because it's the important piece, right?
There is something about being able to say what you need without feeling guilty about putting your needs first, or not first, but putting, just making sure that your needs are being met. And you saying this is something that you need to deal with to the others is not rejecting them or not caring. But a lot of us are hiding a little bit behind that because it feels weird to be confident in saying, what I need right now is not to have to deal with your shit. And I'm exaggerating, but there's an element of that, right? And I think it's great that you could do this in a way that nudged the conversation in a direction where you feel good about it. And you know what? There's also something absolutely okay, I find, with you feeling okay with the situation, but the others maybe are not there yet.
Yeah. It's a tricky beast, huh? This co-founder relationship. And
for what it's worth, I was in a situation this morning where I had to ask one of my co-founders in my other business if he's okay if I tell him what I think he should be doing with the other co-founder.
Okay.
So it's an awkward setup. And I thought, I'm just going to go out on a limb here because I think I'm seeing something that the other two aren't seeing. And if they are, because they're both on, more on the kind of reserved end of the spectrum, they probably wouldn't address it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But also,
but honestly,
yeah,
we do this actually also quite often. Now I'm thinking, you made me reflect. It's nearly like we often, and it really sort of goes around the table. We take a role of a coach in between, or sometimes even a mediator when, you know, there is a dynamic between the two. And I know that your business, you are also three of you, the same for me. And I think there is something really nice about that as well, because that one person sometimes really can play that role. How did it go?
I mean, it went well because I haven't fully processed it, but there was also an element of, I don't think I'm emotionally able to have that conversation today.
Mm-hmm.
But it was good to be able to say these things, right?
Mm.
And I'm learning, the one thing that I'm really struggling with these things is patience. I'm normally a very patient person when it comes to, oh, let's just talk things through. I always feel this need, because the sooner you talk about stuff, the better it is in my head. But accepting that some people are just not able to switch on the talking bit, that little unit in your head that allows you to actually sit down, gather your thoughts, and actually talk about emotions, doesn't come easy to an introvert or somebody who might need more time to process stuff. So
that's a beautiful part. Yeah, that last thing that you just said, because you made me think actually about one of the things that you did. And I'm just now thinking that we haven't really done it. We, with my other co-founders, like, we scratched the surface. Like, we did the principles and we invest a lot and we talk a lot. But what you have done well that I'm aware of, you did those tests, right, with your co-founders, where you sort of go deeper into understanding, like, what is your personality types and stuff. And can you speak up a little bit about that? I think it's useful to everybody.
Okay, this is going to be, and here's a promotional bit, because I'm such a big fan of this particular methodology. So I was introduced a few years ago in my life at InnoTribe into this model called process communication model, which is based on, I mean, conceptually a little bit like stuff that people recognize, like MBTI, Myers-Briggs, and all that. So there is a questionnaire that creates a profile. But the key thing in all of this is that knowing your profile, which is what happens with the other things, doesn't really have any practical applicability. But here it's all about actually figuring out how the way you communicate and you're being communicated with affects the working together with other people, but also learning why somebody who has a particular makeup has a particular way of communicating. And for me, the best example is in my previous, it's interesting that our conversation that we hadn't designed like this goes into co-founder relationships. So in my previous life, I was working with 9 co-founders, of which I had a very different profile from most of the others, which we found out in that exercise.
Mm.
And the thing that was interesting for me was that, for whatever reason, my makeup is that if I really value relationships. So if somebody communicates with my relationship, with my contact, I don't need to be consulted, but I like to be informed. It fulfills a need. And when that doesn't happen, I get just anxious. I'm curious. I feel like, I don't know. It's just a very uncomfortable feeling. Whereas one particular kind of co-founder that I had, because his makeup was like this independent entrepreneurial type, he felt like copying me into an email that he wrote was a bit like asking for permission to even, or like, are you checking?
Oh, yeah, I could see that.
And it was such an unhealthy thing, but none of our behaviors were designed or we were even aware of it. So when he learned that this is important to me and realized that it didn't cost him anything to copy me into stuff, and he started doing this, there was a balance.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly that whole tension that was created by these things disappeared overnight. Just a simple example. The interesting thing for me is that this model comes with a recognition of stress factors. So how do you actually recognize that the other person is stressed because of the way you communicated? Because then you can actually address it. I think it's wonderful. I've done this so many times now. We're working with this wonderful woman called Martine de Weert, who's been doing this now. I've introduced it to portfolio companies of mine. I've done this with my new co-founders. I've done this in so many different makeups and scenarios because it starts with that awareness.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
The funnest bit, having done this now a few times, is because you go through this course and sort of halfway through the day, you've been given your profile.
Okay.
But also realizing this, how some people's expectation of what profile they will be are very different.
Oh, that's a big one.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating, right? Because suddenly you realize. So I'm working with two people whose profile is very different from mine. Mm-hmm. And I can talk about this for hours, but the point is that my base, as it's called, my fundamental makeup is something called harmonizer. So my way of communicating is always making sure that everybody's happy and comfortable and relaxed. And one of my co-founders, his profile is what is called an imaginer, which is practically has very little recognition that relationships matter. So we're opposite ends of the spectrum. But anyway, long story short, I've done this a few times, and that communication, the way you communicate, but also that awareness of how you function and what matters, and the permission, one of our favorite words, to be selfish in the best possible sense and say, I really need not to get involved in your conflict or in your being sad or being upset or your anger is a big thing.
Yeah. And I also love having some sort of a framework that it's a reference point, because I can come back to the same way as we use the co-founder relationships agreement. I'm like, we committed to this. This type of behavior is in misalignment. So it's like, it goes for me, the power of bringing it from something vague and a feeling and emotion, not that emotion and feelings are bad, but when you're exchanging, it doesn't really help often. So that's at least my experience. So bringing it back to something like, oh, I see. Ah, man, I understand why you are doing this, which still, I hear you, doesn't always give you a permission to bring that behavior on the table and at home. Meaning at home to the business, right? So yeah. I think that that's beautiful, that boundary. Sorry, I have to say this. You made me laugh through when you were saying about the, when people have different expectation of who they are versus what, the test says. I was on a coaching session. It was like a group of us. And the question was like, we knew each other sort of, and the question to the group was like, think about what type of animal the other person represents. And I had this view that I'm like a lion, and I got the animals I got was like a deer, peacock. And I was like, what deer, what peacock? And it was like, I lost it. I literally lost it. I remember like I was upset for 2 days. Like, I'm not a deer, this softy animal. Anyhow, so that was something deeper into in there, probably a different therapy or different conversation. But
I'm glad you didn't start telling that story by asking me what kind of animal I think you are.
You tempted me now. Okay, next extra. This was beautiful. I think we should absolutely share the resource of this test with people and give it a chance. I did it once. I also enjoyed it, although I just did it for myself. I didn't do the dynamics. So now you're making me think that that's an investment I think worth making also for my team. Good. I wish we would have some questions from you guys now that we could also go into. And I'm also saying that consciously, because that's something we want to really do more of this year. And I was talking to Cara from our team, and she was telling me, tell people that they can reach out to us and let us know what you want to hear. And also, if there are any questions for Nectaris and I, and you can email those to us at hello@thefuturefarm.co. Not com, but co, and we will try to sort of reach out to you through other channels as well. But would love to hear from you. That's the point. Lovely.
It's exciting. It's the beginning of a new year. Mm-hmm. I like these markers. We've got a lot of good stuff ahead of us. And I'm really, really looking forward to continuing building what we're building with the Future Farm, and also evolving the format of Naked, because we've got a few more thoughts on this. So thank you for keeping the faith. Thank you for being loyal, and thank you for allowing us also to just talk about the stuff that goes on in our lives and doing this public.
Oh, yeah.
That's really, really valued.
Yeah. Last one. We're also trying to put this one on the YouTube. So the video. So if that works, you should be able now to find this new extra this video. We still don't know if it's going to work, but if it works, you see it there. So we want to sort of bring it closer to you and bring a human face, Nick Terrace, a bloody face. So stay well. Speak to you soon. Bye. Bye, Nick Terrace. Bye.
You've been listening to Naked by the Future Farm, where entrepreneurship is stripped to its vulnerable core. To learn more about our work, sign up to our newsletter or visit thefuturefarm.co, where you can also apply to be a Naked guest. Naked is produced by Dan Turgel and edited by Catherine Dworkin. And remember, subscribe, follow, and rate Naked to help share it with the world.